This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser. Beat Mix, you're a loser.
Who's ready to beat Mix? I know Cameron from Everett is. Cameron, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Sarah, your host, and it's time for you to get out of here, Steve. For those playing at home, Cameron has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you only get three guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Garfield is known for hating what day of the week?
Monday.
Correct. What alcoholic beverage is made from juniper berries?
Gin.
Yes. What Masked Singer host was recently diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder?
Pass.
Including the cue ball, how many balls are on a table during a pool game?
9.
No.
I'm sorry, 16.
Correct. Wade Wilson is better known as what superhero?
Who?
Wade Wilson.
Pass.
Aaron Rodgers was born today in 1983, so how old is he today?
That would make him 42?
No.
41.
Correct. What European country is said to have invented hot dogs?
Germany.
Yes.
Austria.
Which insect holds the record for the fastest flying insect in the world?
Dragonfly.
Yes. The Walt Disney Company acquired Marvel Entertainment in what late 2000s year?
2009?
Yes.
Wow.
Cameron, you got 7 correct.
Well done, my friend. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, you kind of killed it at the end there.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I think this should be Steve.
I like that laugh.
Yeah. Steve's first loss in December. I'm feeling it. I am feeling it.
I concur.
Yes. Okay, Steve. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Garfield is known for hating what day of the week?
Monday.
Yes. What alcoholic beverage is made from juniper berries?
What?
What alcoholic beverage is made from juniper berries?
Gin?
Yes. What Masked Singer host was recently diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder?
Wow. I feel like that's every celebrity. But
yeah.
Let's go with Nick Cannon?
Yes. Including the cue ball, how many balls are on a table during a pool game?
9.
No.
10.
No.
11.
No. Wade Wilson is better known as what superhero?
Deadpool.
Correct.
Deadpool, not bull.
Aaron Rodgers was born today in 1983, so how old is he today?
Now they wouldn't stop mentioning it. 41.
Yes. What European country is said to have invented hot dogs?
Germany.
Wow, yes. What insect holds the record for the fastest flying insect in the world?
A flying ant.
No.
I don't know. A fly.
No.
A bumblebee.
No. What Walt Disney Company acquired Marvel Entertainment in what late 2000s year? The Walt Disney Company acquired Marvel Entertainment in what late 2000s year?
Oh, 2009?
Yes. And I messed up that question, so I'm going to give it to you. Which means, Steve, you got 7 correct, which is a tie, 7-7.
Oh.
Not your first loss, but still better than a win.
Okay,
Good work, Cameron.
Have a good one, my man.
Nick Cannon does have narcissistic personality disorder. You got that right. Including the cue ball, how many balls are on the table during pool? Cameron got it correct at 16.
16?
Yes.
Shows how much I play pool.
And then he also got the fastest flying insect is a dragonfly.
I've seen some fast dragonflies.
Oh, for sure.
Time. Yeah.
Well, congrats on tying, Cameron.
Live Night is coming back December 13th. Can you believe that is a week from Friday?
No.
Wow.
Are you ready, Steve?
I was about to say, we should probably figure this stuff out now, huh?
Well, apparently you're playing the drums for the first time in a year.
I have not picked up drumsticks in forever, and we're doing Father Christmas, the Kinks cover that we once recorded for Coach for Kids, and we're going to do it live at Live Night.
We recorded it 2 years ago, so that's the last time I sang that song.
And you're going to sing it thanks to all the generous rockaholics that raised over $6,900 for Coach for Kids. We're over $10,000 now. You can donate at KISW.com. $20 puts a brand new coat on a kid in need. And you're going to have to sing Father Christmas there.
With the KISW New Originals.
Not to add any extra pressure, but you're also going to be singing it in front of Seahawks Hall of Famer.
Stop.
Walter Jones.
You're making it worse, Steve.
That's why I said it.
It's going to be us, the men's room, a lot of special guests like Big Walt, and you can get those tickets. They started just $35 over at KISW.com. The Seahawks won a crazy one against the Jets yesterday, and the MVP of the game was definitely Leonard Williams.
Big cat.
Especially with that pick six. So Leonard breaks down the interception in the greatest way possible, and you're going to hear what he had to say after Foo Fighters.
The Daily Migs Show.
I do believe that the Seahawks may have shaved a few years off of all of our lives during that game yesterday, but they pulled it out. Pulled it. I almost said what Sarah says. Pulled it out. Pulled it off. They pulled it out.
You've made it a thing.
God.
You're welcome.
They pulled it off against the Jets. 26-21 was the final score. And we're at the top of the NFC West.
It was crazy because it just felt like it was a competition between who wants to lose more. And at one point, it felt like the Seahawks were going to win that competition with the way they were fumbling the kickoffs. And I'm just like, we just can't catch a break.
And without question, the MVP of the game was a former Jets player, Leonard Williams. He had two sacks, key plays during crunch time, and especially that pick six.
Seahawks load the line and bring pressure. Rodgers has it picked off by Leonard Williams. Just a second interception of Big Cat's career. Is he going to take it to the house? His own house. He sure is. At pick six. And he flips the game on a huge play.
I mean, that was when we were like, is it something going to go our way? That was the moment where finally something went our way. And I was like, what is happening? And how is this guy able to run that far being so big?
Also, that crowd noise is crazy.
It was nuts at times when, like, the game was going on. It was, like, third down for the Jets. And, you know, usually at T-Mobile, at Lumen Field, of course, the crowd would be going crazy, trying to be loud. It was kind of super loud when they had the ball. I'm like, man, there are a lot of Seahawks fans here.
Yeah, we travel
cool.
Well.
Yes.
Well, after the game, Leonard Williams ended up chatting with King Five's Paul Silvey on the fifth quarter and broke down that interception in a great way.
There's a lot to unpack in this breakdown, so let's have some fun with this.
I mean, that was a crazy play. I think Mike dialed up a great play in that situation. We pretty much have a technique where I'm supposed to rush the touch and pop out late.
I felt like he was giving us a birds and the bees speech right there. You know, when you rush the touch and pop out late, next thing you know, a baby's on the way.
No.
It's a good disguise because the quarterback's not expecting a D lineman to be in that little shallow route right there. The ball was just in arm's reach. I reached out, poked it, and it just happened to give me a good bounce up in the air, and I caught it. And honestly, once I reached around the 50, I was just expecting someone faster might be on me by then. You know what I mean?
Which is crazy to think, like, you know, you're watching him run. He's like 300 pounds. He's a big boy. And I'm like, they're going to tackle him at some point. This is way too much field for him to cover to be able to get to the end zone.
So I started looking around, and I'm seeing, like, the whole cavalry, the whole defense just, like, flying down the field, which was awesome for me to see because I'm like, these guys seem more excited and proud for me to get in that end zone than I was. Like, after I passed that 50, I started getting tired. I'm, like, looking for people to pitch the ball to.
Right.
But they're all down the field blocking, so I'm like, I guess I got to take it all the way. But it was awesome, man. I got in the end zone, and I was tired. I just laid down.
I think Kobe Bryant, like, tackled him to celebrate, and he did not get up. He felt like, get me an oxygen tank.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine running that long?
No. I don't know that I could. I mean, in like a full sprint, I would probably be laying down.
I thought for sure. And when they almost it felt like the Seahawks players built a force field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to hear him say, like, oh, I was looking for somebody to hand the ball off to. I thought in my mind, I'm like, oh, this guy, I would be selfish. I'd be thinking, this is my one chance to score a touchdown. How often is he going to get those opportunities? I'm going to try my best to make that happen.
Take it to the house.
But then on Q13, you know, they have game day, and Aaron Levine broke it down. And at one point, he said something that made, I don't know if it's going to make you feel old, but it definitely made me feel old when I tried to do the math for a half a second and realized, A, I'm bad at math, and B, I'm getting older as the days go by.
Leonard Williams, we're going to take a look at his stats, which I mentioned before. That pick six, by the way, was the longest interception return for a touchdown by a defensive lineman in the NFL in 24 years since the year.
So right there, I was like, oh man, so like since the 80s?
The year 2000.
The year 2000 is 24 years ago. I don't know why I'm an idiot, but I was like thinking, there's no way 2000 was 24 years ago. Yeah, no duh. It's 2024 right now.
Ouch.
2000. It was the longest ever by a player of 300 pounds or more. And according to ESPN stats, he reached a top speed of 17.84 miles per hour.
Do you think any of us could go 17.84 miles per hour?
There's only one way to find out.
I'm not even going to try. I can tell you the answer. Maybe Danny?
Maybe.
I mean, this man did a turkey trot last week. He is in impeccable shape.
It took him 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He did not take him 30 minutes.
Did you go 17 miles per hour?
I have no idea. It did feel like he kind of was going 30 minutes. It took him 30 minutes to get to the end zone, and as he started slowing down, I'm like, come on, you can do it. I think I can. I think I can.
Which was the top speed for a defensive lineman as a ball carrier in 5 seasons.
That was just crazy. What an insane moment right there.
Oh, my gosh.
And then there was another great moment.
Oh, yeah.
During a press conference with Mike Macdonald, he was talking about Michael Dixon, who is the punter, and he was injured.
Yeah.
So they had, like, you know, end up like doing some things on the fourth down that they would usually think about punting, but they're like, we can't have him punt because his back is all messed up. He was able to hold the ball for, like, you know, for the field goal and things along those lines. But Coach Macdonald referred to him by his nickname. Any guesses on what Michael Dixon's nickname is?
Dixie.
What do you think, Danny?
Man, that's Little Mikey.
Little Mikey.
Yeah.
I was thinking Little Dicky.
Little Dicky. Well, you're all wrong. Because the nickname is even more absurd.
But it's great to be able to close it out. It was a great drive at the end by our offense. We nominated Dicko as the honorary player of the game for not being available. It's for us having to go for it on fourth down.
Dicko?
I hate that.
I'm done.
I hate it.
We nominated Dicko as...
If Dick's drive-in isn't doing anything like with that, they should do something with it.
They need a Dicko Deluxe.
Exactly.
Yes.
And a shirt.
All of us very happy about that win yesterday, even if it wasn't pretty. But you know who isn't? The Jets fans.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And let's just say their fans are not too pleased with their coach and what he said. So we're going to go straight to the comments at 8:20.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone knows social media is a time suck. And what you're about to hear proves it. If it's online, someone, somewhere, has an opinion and is whining about it. So let's get straight to the comments.
Yesterday, the Jets lost to our Seattle Seahawks. And their head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, talked to the media after the game.
And he's the interim coach. Like, was he like the... They fired the offensive coordinator. They bumped him up to be the interim offensive coordinator. Then they fired the coach, and now they bumped him up to be the interim head coach. And I believe he's going to be next week the interim quarterback for the team.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
But after the game, talking with the media, he was saying that they need to be consistent to be a winning team.
We had moments where we really played our brand of football to our standard, and there was moments that we did not, you know, and that's kind of been the common tale of the season. And if you want to be a championship team, if you want to be a winning team, you got to be consistent. I think the strain is right. I think the physicality is right. It's the execution piece, you know, and we've got to clean it up because in critical moments, we've had breakdowns that don't allow you to win games like that.
Man, listening to him makes it feel like listening to Mike McDonald in some of those games that we've had where, like, the team just continue to find creative ways to get penalized to cost the team the game. And that's kind of what happened with the Jets.
Absolutely. Yeah. So their fans all have opinions on this, of course. So we're
New Yorkers? You're kidding me.
We're going to go straight to the comments.
Yeah, we found a few of those comments and posts about that statement that the coach made, and we sent them to our production director, Jason, and said, hey, reenact them however you want. We just want to illustrate how worked up people get over sometimes the dumbest stuff on social media. But it's football. It's not dumb. It's serious.
Yeah, it's life.
Yes, this is what we base our entire day on. Well, here are some of those comments. Are you ready for the first one?
Let's go, Seahawks.
We're planning consistent. Sell the f***ing team.
That was one of my favorite moments watching the game. Did you catch? There was a moment where I think they were up 21-7. They were winning, or maybe they were still winning, but they it was closer. And they shoot out to the crowd. There was a guy with a paper bag over his head, and it said, sell the team.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, even when they're winning this team, the fan base hates them.
Oh.
Seahawks weren't consistent, and they are a winning team. Stupid ass coach.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong. We are very inconsistent, but 7-5, first place in the NFC West, baby.
That's right.
On our way to the Super Bowl.
12-5.
12-5. Hey, you can't get the 12-5. Well, I guess you could without being 7-5, but you know what I mean.
Oh, my gosh.
Nah.
F*** off. How's about that?
Okay. I feel like there was a lot of posts about that.
Noted.
Yes.
I'm not sure what he's talking about. They are the most consistent team in the league. Consistently?
I mean, yeah. Not wrong.
I thought while watching that game was this would be a lot of fun to watch if you didn't like either team and you just turned on a football game for the sake of watching a football game because it was just so many absurd moments that happened, but very entertaining.
It looked like they were trying to help the other team win the whole time.
That's what I mean. It was a battle of who can suck less.
It was wild.
It was. I mean, I'm glad that the Seahawks came out on top, but man, it didn't look that way for a while. Mm. One more comment.
I hate that my parents raised me to cheer for this embarrassment of a team. Wish we were a Giants family. At least I could have experienced a championship in my life.
There's a very sad post right there. The dude said you grew up
whole life
as a Seahawks fan. Like, you yes. know, you were raised in a Seahawks family.
So yes.
When I grew up, my parents didn't care a lick about sports. So I had to, like, find teams to like based on, like, my friends or if their star player was named Steve, you know. I had stupid reasons, but I'm excited to, like, raise my kid now as, like, a Kraken fan. Like,
yes.
You know, I love that she, like, says, like, she gets excited to wear her Kraken t-shirt. Or she was a little bit minor excitement yesterday during the Seahawks game. But, you know, Mariners as well. Like, yes. I want her to grow up to be a fan of a team. That way, like, her entire life, she'll have pictures as a little kid rocking, like, Kraken jerseys and stuff.
I agree, but isn't it kind of sad? Like, let's go to Mariners, for example. Like, yeah. You're going to, like, raise her to be a fan.
Of and a loser.
She may not see a World Series win her entire life. So it's kind of just setting them up for disappointment
Sarah,
a little bit.
Sarah, next season is our year, okay?
Is it?
And Tatum's alive to see it, yeah.
And also, Steve, I know you say that, and I don't mean to put this into your mind.
Uh-oh.
However, what if she turns out to hate the Seahawks because Dad made me watch Seahawks ever since I was a kid? That's how I was with the Cowboys. I hated football for the longest time.
Because they forced you to watch it.
They forced me to watch it every single time. And it was crap. like trying to like be fan. And it was like, we're watching the Cowboys. And I was like, no. And I hate the Cowboys. Like, my whole family loves Cowboys. Me, no.
That's also funny that you grew up in a Cowboys household in New Mexico.
Well, you know, we don't really know things there.
Is that the closest team?
No. I mean, honestly, I think it's just so it's like mostly Dallas fans, but then there's our Broncos fans, too, because they're just right up north. But then no Cardinals fans, which is weird. Because they're also one state away.
Well, I mean, the Cardinals have been in Arizona for a little bit, but they weren't always there.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, because they were in St. Louis for a while as well.
Yeah, like my aunt is the only diehard Broncos fan I know, but everyone else.
St. Louis Cardinals is a baseball team. My bad, sorry.
Now we're just mixing sports.
Yes, my brain is fried. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Apologies. I still don't get why you guys are all Cowboys.
I don't either.
They're America's team, I guess, at some point.
The cheerleaders, that's why.
They pretty much do have the coolest cheerleaders.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I'll give them that. There is a well-known musician who was recently being interviewed, and what was it? that was said to him that led to this reaction?
Well, I tell you what. Why don't you go f*** yourself?
Ooh. We're going to tell you what's trending after Sublime.
The Daily Migs Show.
We know for many of you, you are just waking up and starting out your day. And, you know, we're coming off a Thanksgiving holiday, so there's been a lot going on in the world of pop culture these past few days. And we're going to help you out by telling you what's trending.
What's trending on the Daily Migs Show? What's trending? Let's go. Let's go.
This is on the very top of my to-do list. To watch the documentary about Yacht Rock that just began streaming over the weekend.
Okay.
Near the very end of it, the producer called Donald Fagen of Steely Dan to ask for his involvement. And let's just say this did not go well.
Hello, Mr. Fagen.
Yeah, this is he.
Yeah, hi, this is Garrett. I'm the one making this Yacht Rock documentary. Yeah, so I've been talking to a lot of people that have played with you and Steely Dan over the years. And I was wondering if you'd sit down with me and talk about your music and this genre.
And what genre is that?
Yacht rock.
Oh, yacht rock. Well, I tell you what. Why don't you go f*** yourself?
I think Donald Fagen hung up on me.
Wow.
I take it he doesn't like the term. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. Why don't you go f*** yourself?
Now I want to see this.
It is called Yacht Rock, a documentary.
Okay.
Yeah, they did a good one.
Well, I tell you what. Why don't you go f*** yourself?
It is streaming on Max currently, and for the record, former Steely Dan member Michael McDonald does take part in the documentary, and many are considering him to be the captain of the Yacht Rock ship.
Okay.
By the way, real quick guess. Do you know what year the word Yacht Rock was first introduced?
Damn it. It was on a stand-up. It wasn't a stand-up comedian?
It was like a DJ or something like that, I think, okay. Coined the term. The year was 2005.
2005.
So this is, in the grand scheme of things, a relatively new term.
And you would think, though, the guy, I mean, I know Steely Dan's a great band, not my cup of tea, but I get they're a great band, but you would think that they would be okay with being called Yacht Rock because they've gotten so many more streams and probably more people going into their concerts and way more money. And it's not really like, it's not like the genre is called crap rock or, you know, boring ass rock, or those are the terms I came up with that most Steely Dan fans didn't appreciate. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
It's not the end of the world being
lean
called
into
yacht
it.
Rock. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw what happened with this college football game between Michigan when they upset number 2 Ohio State.
Yes.
You saw the fight?
Yes.
That was insane. So if you didn't catch it, a player on Michigan, they were so fired up that they won. They're playing in Ohio. And he went to the 50-yard line where they had, like, the Ohio State logo with a Michigan flag and tried to, like, stake his claim of the field and, like, put his flag right there. And it pissed off a bunch of the players on the other team, led to a giant fight. Fans were involved as well. People were being pepper spray. I think $100,000 fines were being sent out to these teams. And here's the play-by-play of what went down.
Michigan will defeat Ohio State for the fourth consecutive time and denies the Buckeyes a Big Ten title game shot. Something interesting is going on the field right now. Michigan tried.
I like how he's like, something interesting. They're beating the crap out of each other.
Michigan tried to plant their flag in the middle of the Ohio State field, and the Buckeyes rushed right to them. And now there's some skirmishes going on the field. An unsportsmanlike gesture by the Wolverines. Unnecessary. They've won the game. No need to be disrespectful.
Someone probably just needs to grab that flag, or else this is going to continue to get nasty.
The man is just playing while all this is going on. And you'll hear a little bit of an eruption from the crowd because somebody did grab the flag at this point. Right there.
Incredibly ugly scene for a beautiful rivalry.
And you watched that?
I did. It was crazy. I could not believe what was happening.
It's bonkers.
Yeah. Well, we are looking for someone right now that is brave enough to tackle Steve Migs. In the game of Beat Migs, he's got a record of 339 wins, 103 losses, and 58 ties in 2024.
You know what I have to say about that?
Yeah.
What are you going to f*** yourself?
206-803-ROCK. We will play Beat Migs at 850.
The Daily Migs Show.